Joe Morgan has joined us on Sports Byline USA, former Major League player and also manager. And I mentioned that he managed the Boston Red Sox from 1988 to 1991. And you took over that club in 1988. It was a pretty talented club, and the club was stumbling around 500 under John McNamara. And they let him go during the course of the All-Star break, and they named you as the acting manager. And I've always been interested when a guy has been named acting or interim manager, how he approaches that type of challenge. Were you surprised, first of all, to even be picked to manage the Boston Red Sox?
Well, there were rumors that they were going to make a change, and since I was a third base coach, I'd be probably the logical contender. But the thing was, this was a good club. They just weren't playing good and winning. It reminded me of the Milwaukee Braves when Fred Haney took over for Charlie Grimm. They had a club with Aaron, Matthews, Spahn, Burdette, Buell, a whole bunch of guys, but they just weren't winning. The two clubs were so similar. Now, Fred Haney held the record, the most consecutive wins by an interim manager. He had 11. So when the boys won 12 for me, now I hold that record for myself. And a guy said to me one day, if someone's got 11 wins, will you be rooting for him in the 12th? I said, hell no, you got to be selfish once in a while. I said, but if he wins that 12th game, I'll be rooting for him for the 13th, and he can have the record all to himself.
You as a third base coach, obviously you interact with the players in one particular way when you're a coach, but when you're a manager, you obviously take on a different type of persona. What did you say to the team after they named you manager in that first meeting in the clubhouse?
It's funny you asked that. I think the biggest statement I made was, everybody in this room is on the same keel. I don't care if you've been here 10 years or you just came up from Pawtucket. We got to stay together. The one thing that's different for each guy is that paycheck when the man gives it to you. Everything else is on a level here.
You mentioned about winning those first 12 games. Did you see immediately that there was a change in the way the Red Sox played the game under you? Was it something that had been kind of weighing on them about John McNamara? Maybe he'd be fired, maybe he wouldn't, and all of a sudden the team got more relaxed and that's why they played better, Joe?
That could be. I think they got rejuvenated somehow. There was that talk about him being removed, but when the All-Star team game came, I mean, the break there, and nothing had happened, we went back to start the second half of the season. That's when the actual thing happened, the last second of the three-day break. So anyway, my hats is off to those guys. They made me a lot of money.
You go into the American League Championship Series. It's against the Oakland Athletics, and you get swept by them. Was that a matter of just you guys not matching up with them? And I've thought about that series. I went back and I looked at it, and I thought about it, and I can't put my finger on what it was that happened to you guys. Help me out, Joe.
Well, I'll tell you, to be honest with you, I thought they had a definite better team than we did. They were stacked all the way down the line. And I figured if we could win that first game, maybe we'd get rolling good and the leaf would turn around and we could beat these guys. I felt that way both years. The first year we were leading right off the bat, right up till the eighth inning, and they came back and beat us. So that kind of turned it. Then we went out to coast and scored a gang of runs in the first inning when I made a few lineup changes, but they came back and beat us then, too. They were definitely better than we is. I got to say that.
That's when they had, of course, McGuire and Eckersley, and they had that whole, you know, even Ricky Henderson. And
They had those Welch, the pitcher.
Right.
Stewart. They had everything.
Was that the series, or was it the second time you met them in the ALCS that Roger Clemens came unglued out in Oakland?
I think that was the second one.
And what happened in that? You know, he got upset with an umpiring call, I know, and then challenged the umpire. And I really felt that kind of set the temperature for that playoff series and for the Boston Red Sox, because you got swept in that series as well.
Yeah, I think that was the which game of that series was that? That might have been the fourth game. Happened was we were in the first base dugout. And the wind that day was blowing from first to third. And we didn't find out until afterwards that Clemens was getting on the umpire pretty good. You know, we didn't even know anything was going on. And then finally the umpire told Roger, if he says another word, he's out of here. He said a couple of words and he was gone. Tony Payne was the catcher. He told me this afterwards. So that's the way that went.
In 1991, you had a flawed team. I don't think that there was any doubt about it. And when you were finally let go, Butch Hobson takes over. But you made a very interesting comment, and that is, this team just isn't that good. And I'm just wondering what the reaction was and the motivation for saying that, because usually when managers leave, they leave in a very quiet manner.
Well, I did say that, believe it or not, folks, this team isn't as good as a lot of people think it is. But I would say I managed better that year with the pitching staff we had than the other years, believe it or not, because we didn't have very good pitching that year. And we actually tied. We were 10 games behind in August and made a run and were even with them, and then we fell apart at the end. But that was the story there.
Joe, I've always been interested in managers and how many decisions they make during the course of the game. Now, I know over in the National League it's different than what it is in the American League, because you already alluded to the fact that there's the DH over in the American League. But generally speaking, for yourself, I don't know whether you're a guy that was hands-on, and it would probably depend on the personality of the manager. But generally speaking, how many decisions does a manager make during the course of a game?
Well, I don't know how many, but there's not many real vital ones. In other words, they can't win 40 games because they're a better manager than the next guy. But there are little things, calling a pitch now and then. I wasn't a real pitch caller, but I could sense times when we should call a certain pitch, and I would do that, and things like that. But I'll tell you how you can win a lot of games as a manager. You got to study the other guys, what they hit, where they hit the ball, and that stuff, and you got to go over it with your pitcher and catcher before every game. You can win more games that way than trick strategy once the game starts. That's my way of looking at it.
You were a player during one particular era and a manager during another, and I'm wondering how you felt about pitch count, because when you played, you know as well as I do, there were a lot of pitchers that if you came out to the mound, tried to take the ball out of their hand, they would probably kick the manager in the rear end. But, you know, nowadays, and when you managed, it was specialization. You had the setup guy, the middle reliever, and everything. How do you feel about pitch counts?
I don't particularly like it. Not when it's only around 80 to 90 or 100, you know. I think a lot of these pitchers pitch too, like they know they want to come out in the eighth inning or the seventh inning, you know. I just don't like the pitch count deal. There's times when you got to protect a guy. It's no question about that. But the big money that they get today is a big contributor to the pitch count. You know that.
We got about 90 seconds left, but Joe, when you think back on your career, both as a player and as a manager of the Boston Red Sox in your hometown area, what are your favorite memories?
Favorite memories? Well, that triple I told you about is one of them. Another one is just making the big leagues, you know. Kids today, they're around the ballpark and around players quite a bit and this and that. When we were growing up, we thought these guys were something you couldn't get anywhere near. You're lucky to be able to see them from the stands. So it's a lot easier today, I think, like spring training. The players played seven, eight innings when we played. These guys today, they're out of the game in the third, fourth inning quite a lot, which gives these kids a chance to get in there and get acclimated and get to know their teammates and fit in much better than we did.
Is there a particular moment, aside from that triple, that you'll never forget, kind of an image in your mind as a manager or a player?
I don't know. I have to think of that. It doesn't pop right in there, so there must not be one. How's that sound?
Joe, I love talking baseball with you. And again, a guy that grew up in the Boston area, stayed home, and managed the team and everything. Thank you for joining us on Sports Byline and talking about your fine career. Take care, Joe.
Okay, you ask good questions. Thanks, Ron.
Joe Morgan joining us on Sports Byline USA. Again, former Major League manager and player as well. And he grew up in Walpole, and he had a nickname, Walpole Joe and Turnpike Joe, because when he was in the minor leagues, he used to drive a snowplow on the Massachusetts Turnpike to make extra money. Nice to have you with us on America's Sports Talk Show.